4ULP, Kilo Oscar, 4 Uniform Alpha Paw is monitoring.
Sir, N4ZLK mobile.
4ZLK, if I'm correct. How are you today?
Member 4, Zulu, Lima, Kilo. You should have me down in your logbook. Name is Shane.
4ZLK. Fine. You are a little bit scratchy, but I just barely made you out.
The power up a little bit. Is this any better?
Doing much better.
I have a curiosity question I want to ask you. Are you or your parents from anybody from Delaware or Pennsylvania area originally?
Ned has relatives in southern Ohio.
Way you say the letter O when you give your call, KO4, the O sounds like the way my wife's family talks, and they're from Delaware. A couple of them are in Pennsylvania, but mostly Delaware. Just curious. That was all.
I've lived in South Carolina all my life, and I don't know. I just guess I just say the O like that. I don't purposely try to do it or nothing.
It's not a big deal. Sometimes we talk like our parents. We don't even realize it. But that's it. I just, whenever I hear you, I think, boy, that sounds like a Delaware accent slightly or Eastern Pennsylvania.
Because I grew up in Canada, so maybe a little bit from there, and my dad lived all over the place because dad was a pastor and they moved a lot.
Well, you guys settled here in this area now?
I've lived here all 13 years of my life.
It was a long time. That's good. I've lived here almost my whole life. I was 1 and a half when my parents moved me down here from Ohio. Also, I was born in in Dayton, Ohio, which is kind of southern Ohio.
So, that kind of counts as all your life except for 1 and a half years.
Just about 50 years down here in South Carolina. So it feels like home.
I would count that as home.
My mother is from England, and she came over here when she was 19, and she's now 81. And she still refers to England as home. And I say, you know, Mom, you've been here a lot longer than you were there. And she goes, I know, but I still think of that as home.
Yeah. Well, her family was, from England. But, my grandparents immigrated from Serbia when it used to be a country. No, Serbia is still a country. I mean, Yugoslavia, when that used to be a country.
They're a long way from home, too. Do they live near you, or are they still alive?
Alive. They are in Ontario, Canada. So that's where they have lived, and that's where my mom grew up. And then she married my dad and came down to the U.S.
Yeah, my dad was from Ohio, and he was in the Air Force. And he met my mother in England. So all her family is still over there. We got a chance to go 2 years ago, go visit them. I met a lot of cousins that I'd never met before and got to see a lot of family again. It was fun to be over there.
That would be fun. We used to go to Canada every year, but now because of COVID, they've locked down the borders and we haven't been able to go. We were able to slip in at Christmas time because my mom is a Canadian citizen.
I know that you would like to be there and see your family again, but maybe it'll open back up here soon, hopefully, and you'll be able to go back and visit again. N4ZLK.
KULP for station ID. Yes, my aunt and uncle are up there and my grandparents, but my cousin, she happens to be down here because she was able to get a student visa, and now she's living with us, so, and she's going out to school in Fletcher, North Carolina, and so, you know, we're pretty much like siblings, but I still miss seeing my uncle and grandparents because my aunt is able to come down fairly regularly with the visa, but now we're not even sure if she'll be able to come down with the border situation.
Too bad. Is your cousin in college up there in Fletcher?
Anatomy.
One of my daughters and her husband live in Fletcher, which is not that far away, obviously, but still feels like far away sometimes.
Just 35-minute drive four times a day for my parents.
That's a good drive four times a day. I heard you say earlier you live near North Greenville University. My youngest son and his wife both graduated from there a couple years ago.
Only about 2-3 minutes away, so we had a neighbor that went there for year or less, and then he started to do something else, but I don't have any family that has gone to the university, I don't think.
Been over there a few times. It's a pretty campus, and it's a beautiful area. N4 ZLK Mobile.
ULP for station ID. Yeah, it is a pretty nice campus.
Alexander, what's your favorite subject in school? I know you're doing homeschool right now, but what do you like to do?
Reading a lot.
Wrong there. What kind of things do you like to read about?
I read true stories and history. I enjoy World War II history. I'm reading a good book right now that I started today. It's called Shot Down. It's about a World War II navigator in a bomber who was a part of the Royal Air Force, and the next chapter in the book, I think, is where I actually get shot down, so it's been a good book so far.
This is very interesting. I like World War II history as well. I read one several years ago about a whole fleet of ships that got caught in a typhoon, and how many of the ships sunk, and one of the destroyers was going around rescuing people out of the water. And the winds were so strong that the rain was, you know, stain hitting their faces so hard that it was tearing some of the skin off their face because it was such a bad storm. That was a very intense book, kind of scary. Those guys went through a lot of stuff during that war.
So I don't know. I don't really. I don't know if I would. Yeah. Well. Wow. That is a. Well, that's some strong rain. That'd be hard to imagine.
Some of those pilots, a lot of those men that were fighting in the war, they weren't that much older than you. They were in their 17, 18, 19-year-olds, which is not that much older than you.
The story, the guy joined when he was 17, but he's about 19 right now. But so he it took him a while to go through the navigator training course.
Respect for those young men. They faced a lot, and they sacrificed a lot, and their family sacrificed, but I know you'll enjoy that book.
It was almost a suicide mission to become an Air Force pilot because you were lucky if you got to 34 missions and lived for 34 missions before getting shot down.
Tell me one day when you finish the book what how they survived and or if they survived. I'm not sure what story it is, but I know there are a lot of them were shot down. Some survived and some didn't.
Most of the people have not survived. The back of the book tells a lot of detail, and I always read the back of the book, you know, and his whole crew died except for him, and it's a crew of 7, so he's the only one that was lucky enough to make it out, but that was just the little bit that I looked at the pictures and read on the back and the something, a little short note in the beginning.
Has the book told you what kind of plane he was flying or a navigator on yet?
Lancer or Lanchester. And then before that, he was on a Halifax, something like that, of that name. I think I pronounced the names correctly. I'm not sure.
I'm not familiar with those. Was he an American soldier or a European or a British soldier?
Soldiers. So what's pretty interesting is it's his experience, because the author was the person that experienced it. So, you know, he gives like all the detail.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the British bombers or the airplanes. I know they had a Spitfire, but that was more of a fighter pilot or fighter plane. But it wouldn't have had a crew of seven. I think that was either one or two people in that. I have to look up what planes they had over there that they flew.
Question the Spitfire, but he did not fly one of those. He was in the big bombers. They had four engines.
About my mother, she was a little girl during that war. She was born in 1940, and so she remembers they had to have all their lights turned out at nighttime. They had to put blankets, curtains over the windows in case they had any kind of little light so that the Germans couldn't see where the houses were to bomb. And she remembers going out after their little town got bombed and seeing some of the houses torn down. And also the Germans would take tin foil, big balls of tin foil that they would soak in kerosene, and they would light them on fire and drop them from their airplanes so that when they landed on the ground, it would light up the ground and they could see buildings to bomb. And she would go out, or her and her brothers and sisters would go out the next day or a couple days later, and they'd collect little pieces of tin foil that had dried up. They weren't burning anymore, and they would play with the tinfoil.
It had been a scary time to live in. The Allies would use something like a triangle-shaped, like, glowing flare that they would drop from other airplanes. I think it also was radar-controlled with their bombs that I read in the book. And also another book that it was actually a story of the German side, and it was a lady and her husband got drafted into the German army. Both of them were not for the Nazis at all, and they said that they nicknamed those falling targets of the Allies would drop Christmas trees, because they were triangular shaped and glowing.
Something, I hadn't heard that. I only heard about the tinfoil balls from my mother. But it was a different time. They needed ways of being able to see where they were going to bomb. Otherwise, they'd just be dropping them anywhere. N4ZLK, and yes, it was a very scary time for her.
AOP for Station ID. Yeah, I can't imagine having to turn out the lights and hearing the bombs explode around your neighborhood.
Yeah, it was a different time. I'm sure she probably had nightmares. I never really asked her about it, but she talked about it more like it, you know, remembering it from a long time ago, so she wasn't scared anymore when she was talking about it. But I know she was scared then. But they had to be careful. They couldn't drive their cars at night. They were on food rations. They didn't have much to eat. They had little ration cards where they could go, because there wasn't a lot of food to eat then either.
Imagine living through that hardship. That must have been really difficult. Food was scarce, and even in Germany after the war, and there were people starving there too, because they couldn't get food either. Just for both sides, it was a hard time to live.
To the 1950s, before they, in England, where they weren't rationing some things, some of the food items, because they took them several years to get back on their feet. And start, you know, been able to live normally, or what we would say normally.
Oh, great. That'd be a struggle just to find food. Yeah, I can't, wow. That was, as I said, I can't imagine living in that time.
The war, that's for sure. Not knowing when more bombs might drop down from the sky at any moment. Oh, well, good to talk to you tonight, Alexander. I'm going to let you go here. I'm not too far from the house, and my voice is getting tired, so I hope you have a good evening, and make sure you read a lot. That's the best thing to do. Sounds like you're already very well educated, but reading is the best thing to do. We'll talk to you later, Alexander. KO4ULP, N4ZLK. Hope you have a good night.
Book here in my shack, so right now I'm reading and talking on the radio, so 73 KU4ULP, and I'm clear. ULP, I'll also be staying by and monitoring on this channel if anybody else wants to jump in.
Tango, looking for a QSO.